big fish, little fish, different names it has, but very profound, very amusing, but very profound drama presenting some very essential points about what is Krishna consciousness. Actually, this drama has been around in slightly different forms, the same essence very much, but some of the details slightly different. It's been around for about 30 years or more. I remember we would perform the fish play in England when I was there in the 70s, and it was extremely well received. Even one time, the producer, there was one show, I don't know if they ever made it down here, stage show, called The Rocky Horror Show. You ever heard of The Rocky Horror Show? Oh, we have some Rocky Horror Show fancy. And it played in sort of the West End, it was Kensington or somewhere like that. It played for years. So the producer of The Rocky Horror Show, somehow one day he saw our devotees performing the fish play. And he was so struck by the fish play that he wanted to get involved and put it on in different places around England. It didn't really happen in the end, but it was very interesting because he was a very big man and a big thinker, visionary in the theatrical world in London and in Europe and in the States as well. So what happens in that fish play? I don't know if you are able to follow the whole thing, but there's the big fish and the little fish. The big fish is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the big fish. And he's giving shelter to all of us. We are the little fish. Every little fish needs a big fish to take care of him or her. So we all need the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, what happens? We get washed up on the rocks at the sea point, front here, or wherever it may be. Yeah, we end up on the rocks. And it's very bad. It's very bad, actually. When this material world catches up with you, when your karma catches up with you, then material existence can be very difficult. I don't know how much you've all experienced of that, but the material world, people are trying very hard, of course, to get ahead, or at least to stay on some reasonable footing to maintain their existence in a decent way and live a comfortable life and like this. But sometimes it doesn't really work out. Have any of you had experience of that? Or have you all just been enjoying life to the max on the material level? Or did Maya get the better of you ever? Yeah. Well, watch out. She can. She's a tough lady. Maya Devi is the presiding deity of the material nature, this world we're living in. Yeah. It's not just running on automatic. There are people behind it. And the chief person behind it is Maya Devi. That's her name. Maya Devi. And Maya. Maya is a Sanskrit word which which things, that which is not, maya, that which is not, it is not this, it is not what it looks like. The material nature is like that, not what it looks like. It looks like a great garden for enjoyment, a place where we can fulfill our desires and enjoy in this way and that and do so many things, but it doesn't really work out so well. At least sometimes it really doesn't work out so well. And ultimately, well, the main factors in material life are birth, death, old age, and disease. So, even if you are very successful, even if you're Bill Gates the second, the Bill Gates of Cape Town, I don't know if any of you are ready to compete for that. Even if you were the Bill Gates of Cape Town, King of Seapoint, or Queen of Seapoint, but eventually death will come. And old age will come before death, and old age is bad enough. But when death comes, then you cannot pull out your checkbook or credit card and ask them, do you take Visa or MasterCard? Or American Express, will you take a post-dated check? So leave me alone, please. Go bother somebody else. When the material nature catches up with you, then it can hit very hard. And some people go from very high level, like very wealthy, very powerful even, and famous and all that, then they go from that to nothing or worse, some horrible position. Just even overnight, look at Saddam Hussein. We've all heard of Saddam Hussein, and he has just been sentenced to death. Well, he was sentenced to death a few weeks ago. But now it's just been confirmed that he has to be put to death within 30 days. Yeah, he has another 30 days to live. He lost everything already. He lost. He was so powerful and so wealthy, billionaire, multi-billionaire. He lost everything. And now he's just going to be slaughtered like an animal. So, well, if it can happen to Saddam Hussein, what about you or me? It can happen to us also. That's the nature of this material world. The material energy is ruthless sometimes. So now, big fish, little fish. The little fish, the big fish is Krishna, God. And he is giving shelter, protection, to all the little fish, all of us little fish. And if we stay under his shelter, then we can live happily, even in this material world. Even though the material world, just by definition, in the most simple terms, this material world is a place of death, like we said, birth, death, old age, disease. These things are rampant here in the material world. But someone who is really under the shelter of Krishna, someone who is really under the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can live very happily, even within this material world, and even in the face of death. No anxieties. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Na muyati. So this verse, what this verse is saying is that just as the embodied soul living within the body, as we are, we're all eternal eternal living entities, spirit souls, that we are currently living within our material bodies. So Krishna says, just as the embodied soul goes from childhood to youth to old age, so the soul similarly goes into another body at the time of death. But dhiras tatra na muyati. Krishna says the dhira, the servant people, na muyati, they don't become bewildered by that change of body even at the time of death. Any more than we did not become bewildered when we went through the changes of body that we have already gone through in the course of this lifetime. The majority of us are adults, some of us are middle age, perhaps some of us are more or less old age. So we have already been through different changes of body in the course of this life. Childhood, then youth, teenage, then early adulthood, 20s, then real adulthood, 30s, 40s, middle age, 40s, then old age starts setting in the 50s, and then 60s, old age is ruling. So we've already changed bodies. Where is your childhood body? Where has it gone? Our dear little girl here with the yellow dress. Yes, that's you. You can see. Hello there. What is your name? Do you have a name? She's shy. Huh? Sarah. Sarah. Sarah, what a nice name for a nice girl. So she's a little girl. How old are you now, Sarah? She is 4. She is all of 4. Yes. You realize that's 1/3 more than 3. That's quite a bit. So she's 4. And she is small. But in another 20 years, when she's 24, then she's going to be 2 or 3 times bigger than now. I don't know how many kilos she weighs now, but you know, by the time she's mid-20s, she's at 20. You don't look like 20. Yeah, even if she is 20 kilos. But by the time she's 25, she's going to be, I don't know what, a woman. If she was a young man, it would be easier. 50 kilos, is that possible? Maybe, for a young woman? 50 kilos, so 2-3 times more. And where would the little body be? Well, actually, according to what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it is not just a matter of the body expanding, you know, stretching. It's not just a matter of the body stretching vertically, laterally. No. The body actually changes. And you end up at least with a different body. Medical science says that every 7 years, every cell in our body changes, is replaced. Every cell. So that means that, you know, if you're 7 or 8, if you're 8, you are in your second body. If you are 15, you are in your third body. Early 20s, you're in your fourth body. And by the time you're 50-odd, then you're in your seventh or eighth body. They're actually different bodies, not just elongated, you know, expanded versions of the same body. They're actually different bodies. So in that verse that we were referring to, Lord Krishna says that Just as we, in the course of this lifetime, we have had a child's body, then we lost it. We got a youth's body, then we lost it. We got a young adult's body, then we got a middle-aged person's body, and then some of us, we have old-aged person's body. We have actually changed bodies as such. So, Krishna says, just as we have changed all these bodies in the course of this lifetime, and we did not lament. We did not lament that, oh, where is my child's body gone? Oh no, it's terrible. No, we just went through it. We probably sort of didn't even notice it. So Krishna says that similarly, a person takes another body altogether at the time of death, but the soma person, spiritually advanced person, does not lament when the body is changed at the time of death any more than any of us ordinary people. We may not be so spiritually advanced, but any more than an ordinary person laments when those bodies are changed during the course of the lifetime. We don't lament. We did not lament. We've already done it. So it's a very interesting point. And if one is sheltered, you know, an interesting point which I read about many years ago, there was a film made in Australia. It was a biographical film about Ned Kelly. Have any of you heard of Ned Kelly? You haven't heard of Ned Kelly. He was a gangster. Australia. Outback. Anyway, he was a wild man. He killed many people. But they eventually killed him. So there was a movie. And in the movie, who was the star? Who was playing Ned Kelly? Mick Jagger. Would you believe? Yeah. And I have been an old Mick Jagger fan for many years. So I found this very interesting. Oh, Mick Jagger's going to play Ned Kelly. Wow. And then, Ned Kelly's girlfriend in the movie, she became a devotee. She is the wife of Burijankuru. Some of you may know Burijankuru. His wife was an actress. And she played the girlfriend of Ned Kelly in that movie. So she was acting alongside Mick Jagger for weeks and months. And after getting to know Mick Jagger for weeks and months, she concluded, he was a pretty useless guy like many of the other guys she had known. He wasn't so impressive. But anyway, the thing that happened was that this was a long time ago. There was a whole lot of publicity about this movie and Ned Kelly and Mick Jagger. And there was publicity about the gun of Ned Kelly. He had a gun. It was like his favorite gun. And this is now in the late 19th century that he was living. But they kept the gun and it was in a museum. So in regard to the movie, there was an article about Ned Kelly's gun. So I read that. And they said, you know, this gun, it's an old gun. It's more than 100 years old. And it was sitting there in a display case in the museum for 100 years. They didn't look after it. And it started rusting. So they had to replace different parts. First of all, they had to replace the barrel. Then 10 years later, they had to replace the body. Then another 10 years later, they had to replace the handle. And in the end, you know what happened? It looked the same, but it was not Ned Kelly's gun. It was another gun, actually. But But it was still in the museum on display as Ned Kelly's gun. So there was an article in the newspaper about this in conjunction with this movie. And I thought that was really quite funny. So this is what is going on, even with us. Our bodies are changing. It is somewhat imperceptible. But actually our bodies are changing every second, would you believe? Every second, some part of your body is changing because the cellular structure is changing. Over 7 years, 7 years means 22,500 days or something like that, 23,000 days. So every day, some noticeable part of your body is replaced. And every 7 years, your entire body is replaced. Anyway, the thing is, in this regard, let me just do a time check. Shamananda or Sunita,
when am I meant to finish?
We need 5 minutes to go. Is that a hint? Okay, let me just wind up. Or wind down. Yeah, so even though we're in this situation in this material world surrounded by change, and therefore material existence is very unstable. There is no position where you can feel secure, because as soon as you start feeling secure, your position changes. But still, if we have the shelter of the big fish, Krishna, then us little fish, the living entities, we can be secure and happy by the mercy of Krishna. So that drama, Big Fish, Little Fish, was showing how the little fish, that's us, trying this way, that way, find happiness in this way, find happiness in another way, buy happiness, as if there is no happiness within you already, as if you have no happiness of your own. You have to acquire happiness from some external source and put it inside you. Then you have happiness for a while. But you, intrinsically, you have no happiness you can call your own. This is what material existence is like. You have to drink something. Buy some. Drink. And you drink it. And when the drink is inside you, then the drink makes you happy. But without that, you have no happiness. People think like that. You have to go to the movie. Your mind, you cannot be happy. Your mind cannot be happy. But you go and watch a movie. Something which is completely external to you. Something which has nothing to do with you. That you watch it and it makes you happy. You need that because you have no happiness of your own. Or if you go on holiday, you have to go to some nice place which will make you feel good. Where you can live in luxury and where they'll look after you so you'll feel good and be happy. Because if you don't do that, you won't be happy. You need that because you don't have happiness of your own. But it's not like that. Actually, we have happiness of our own. We have everything of our own. By the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if we are under His shelter, then our natural happy condition can easily manifest, even though we're only little fish in a big world. But by His mercy, under His shelter, then we can manifest our own happiness, our own true, eternal, spiritual nature, by His mercy. And then we can be happy in this lifetime, in the service of the Lord. And at the end of this lifetime, we can return to the eternal kingdom of God and be happy there, beyond our experience of this world. We can be happy in the company of Krishna eternally. That is the perfection of life. So this is what was being shown in that drama, Big Fish, Little Fish. So, come on, fellow little fish, let's get it together and take shelter of the big fish, and then we'll be happy. Hare Krishna.